a man of my acquaintance, Pastor Fuller, is a Nigerian missionary to South Africa, and if he were here today, he would start the following way. This is the audience participation. Let's get into it. He would say, "Do you love the Lord?" And they would say, "We love the Lord." So let's try it. Do you love the Lord?
We love the Lord.
Do you love the Lord?
We love the Lord.
Do you love the Lord?
We love the Lord.
Okay, good. Wow. We're on a roll here. So it is Trinity Sunday, but Dave's already done that bit, so I probably won't be mentioning it beyond this point. I'm going to talk to you about the kindness of God, and we'll call it TKOG. If it comes up, I'll probably use that abbreviation for it. In Romans 2, verse 4, it says, "The kindness of God leads to repentance." The kindness of God leads to repentance. In Luke 8:39, it says, "Return to your home and declare what God has done for you." And that's what Lorianne and I are doing. We've returned from South Africa on a 3-year mission. It's the middle of the mission, and we're doing some declaring of what God has done for us. And it's all been his kindness. And I want to give you some examples of the kindness of God. We were driving here from Williamsburg, Virginia, a couple of days ago. We've spent what was meant to be a week in the sun, but actually I think you had more sun here in Carlton Place than we had in Virginia. We did get into a hot tub once, but that was the extent of it. And we were on the I-95. Now, Lorianne has done this trip many times before, and it took us about 3 times to get up to Baltimore than it normally does. And I'm driving along and I say, "What is happening here? Why is this so different?" And I had a sudden thought. The US is more prosperous than it's been for a long time, and it has reduced its unemployment significantly. I think it's down where it was 30, 40 years ago. What does that mean? That means many, many more people can buy cars, and they're all out here on this day, stopping me getting where I want to get. And for a moment, I had that really sinful thought. I had that thought. Why should they be allowed to do this? What a horrible thing to say. And then I realized, of course they should be allowed to do this. Before 1994, the South African government used a system called apartheid. And they had a similar attitude. Their attitude was, we don't want all these people. They didn't really care if they were black or brown or what. They just didn't want them sharing the wealth. And they devised a plan where they, the majority, the small majority, would be able to have most of the wealth, and the vast majority of people there would be kept down. They were kept down from education for a start. It was very difficult for them to get education. And now we have, in 1994, that all changed, and we have a democracy in South Africa, but you still have an economic dependence on the poor, the poor people have. And they live in things called townships. Now, this is not like Beckwith Township. These are places where ramshackle dwellings made of corrugated iron are sort of ratch up against one another, and thousands of people live in squalor. That was what drew us to South Africa as missionaries, because we felt in our heart that there was something that we could do to help those people. I'm going to give you one more Bible verse, Exodus 20:17. This is the last verse of the Ten Commandments. Hands up anyone who knows what the last of the Ten Commandments was. What's the word? I told you, I briefed him. It says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass, his horse, his unlimited Wi-Fi system, his house, or his wife. Thou should not covet." But the thing that came to me as we were driving the I-95 was that from the point of view of the neighbor, not the people who wanted what he had, the neighbor, he had a totally different attitude. He doesn't want those people to covet those things because he wants them for himself. It's a different way of looking at that commandment. And I think in many respects, it is the greater sin to not want people to covet what you've got than it is to covet. Think about that for a moment. We found, for example, amongst the children that we work with, that if we were giving out, there was one time I was giving out oranges, not actual oranges, they're things called nachis, they look like oranges, and I'd given to about 7 children the bigger ones, and then I only had a slightly smaller one back, and I gave that to a boy, and he wouldn't take it. He said, "They've got bigger ones than me." And at first he refused to take it because he coveted the larger nachis that the other kids had. So I said, "Okay, well, in that case, no." And I put them all back in the car. And then he changed his mind. He wanted it after all. I only mention this because in that society amongst very, very poor people, the idea of not wanting to be treated unfairly is very, very powerful. If something nice happens to one of the others, they get very upset. They want everything to be equal amongst the children. Well, that's how we grew up, isn't it? We don't like it when something really nice happens to somebody else. If your next door neighbor wins the lottery, what's your first thought? Kind of, you can probably have at least three broken commandments as a result of that. There are two ways to plan. You can pick an objective. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to build a house. And then you pray every day for God's help with your plan. That's one way of going about it. There's a better way. Plan B. You try and discern God's plan. And then you just basically just sit there and watch his amazing kindness dazzle you. And I like to think that that's what Lorianne and I did when we went to South Africa. We didn't choose South Africa. We actually had some supernatural revelations, dreams, and other godly pointers. And I don't have time in my remaining 24 minutes to tell you all the details, but Lorianne would be really good at this. But both of us dreamt things that pointed us directly as South Africa, the place where we could be long-term missionaries. Long-term in the missionary world is 3 years plus, that sort of time. And it also happens to be the length of a visa for a Canadian to go to South Africa. And so we found ourselves, first of all, in 2016, being trained as missionaries in Mozambique in Harvest School 24, and that's the Harvest Schools are run by Iris Global, and the well-known leader of Iris is Heidi and her husband Roland Baker. And that was fantastic. We were in Mozambique 2 months, and then after that they allowed us to go to South Africa to do some practical work and to practice what we'd been learning. And it was during that time that solidified our decision to come back to South Africa. There were a number of things that happened way in the early days that demonstrate TKOG, the kindness of God. Normally, and by the way, I'm going to define the kindness of God as something that he does that you didn't even pray for. You didn't even think of it. He, of course, thought of it, and he decided in his bounteous mercy that it was going to happen. And that's been the story of our time so far there. It normally takes up to 8 weeks to get a visa to go to South Africa. We went to the South African High Commission here in Ottawa, expecting it to take 8 weeks. I remember very well being there with a very nice lady and completing the application forms and signing things. And we went home, got on with our stuff, and we were having breakfast the next morning, sitting at home, eating cornflakes, and the phone rings. "Your visas are ready." It was within 1 day. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone else having that favor in the world of visas. But spoke to us, all right. That sounds definite. We were at a meeting with a similar number of people that you are here today amongst a number of mainly black pastors. And it was about a week before we left for South Africa. So that would make it early November 2017. And I was speaking, and I happened to mention that we'd be flying into Cape Town on the 12th of November. And a man at the back put up his hand and said, I need to talk to you. I think I said to him, well, why don't you talk to us right now? And he said, you don't want to fly into Cape Town Airport arriving 11 o'clock at night on your own, or you could well end up dead. And he said, I am going to make sure that doesn't happen. Come and talk to me afterwards. His name is Godfrey Msimango, and he had been a pastor in South Africa for 20 years. He founded churches which he called the Source of Life. But recently, just before that, he'd come to Canada. And the main reason that he came was because he was fearful for the life of his children. South Africa can be a dangerous place. It's one of the highest murder rates in the world. And so he had decided, for the benefit of his family, he was going to come to a safe place. He came to Canada. And he said, my church in Cape Town is also called Source of Life. I will arrange for them to pick you up. They will pick you up at the airport, and they will take you to your guest house. And if the technology works, I'll show you a picture of his people in our hotel room praying with us on that very first night. The kindness of God. We had no idea. We would have just arrived there not thinking it was any different from any other place. Probably okay in the afternoon. 11 o'clock at night, you want to be real careful. Something that has really affected me is that almost everything, in fact, everything that I have done, and I think this would extend to Lorianne, has given us joy, that wonderful thing that we're promised if we're doing the Lord's work. If my day, if my calendar says I've got 4 or 5 things that I'm going to take part in that day, it's not a question of, oh dear, what's next? It's a question of, ah, I can't wait to get there. I'm going to do that, and I enjoy it. I even enjoy falling asleep at night after all doing these things. It's been a good day. I'm tired. Joy has been the watchword of what we have done. And we've worked with some pretty unusual situations, but we've always received that joy. TKOG. The kindness of our supporters, people who pray for us. We know they do that because we send out newsletters regularly. This is all Lorianne's work. I have very little to do with that. She's a wonderful sender of newsletters, telling people what's going on. And if you're not checking some of that stuff out, you might enjoy doing that. And therefore, we know that we're receiving prayer support. It's tangible. We know it. We love it. And also, some of those people are providing us with financial support. And this church provided us with financial support when we went off. And we are eternally grateful to you. Thank you. Joy, joy, joy. The kindness of God in supporting the work that we are doing for him. There is some art in front of me down there. This is a demonstration of an explosion of creativity that Lorianne has had. And it began when we went in 2016 to Mozambique. And it's continued and got bigger and bigger in South Africa. She's been an artist most of her life, but it sort of dipped away. It just wasn't something that we didn't have a place for her to do it. But now she's producing several drawings a week. And this kind of art is called prophetic art. This is the sort of thing that comes to her when she's sitting in a room like this and the Holy Spirit speaks to her. And you can look at some of these after the service in a little bit more detail. It's been, once again, a real indication that God is with us, that he's giving her. She's already creative, very creative, but he's given her a chance to show her creativity in the whole aspect of what we are trying to do in South Africa. And lastly, in terms of the kindness of God, no boredom. I don't know if you're anything like me, the worst thing in the world is to be bored, even for 10 minutes. I don't think I've been bored for a long, long time. It's a terrible thing, and boredom. There's no boredom on the mission field. You may get up early and go to bed late, but you are certainly not bored. All right, Dave, let's see if you can get my pictures running. I want to show you some photographs And the main purpose of doing this is so that when we talk about working with people in South Africa, you can put a face to it. You can see the kind of people we're talking about. And as we see these, it'll trigger some stories, and it's really just a continuation of showing how kind God is. And I feel privileged with every single one of the people you're going to see here.
Tony,
with a bit of luck.
Yes. There we are.
Those are the people that took us from Cape Town Airport. And we had a little service in our room when we got there. What a way to experience arriving in a new country. We'd had a motorcade going from the airport in their cars, because we had 2 large trunks. No, 6 suitcases, but we had these huge, huge trunks packed with stuff, everything we were going to need for 3 years. This is our house. It's a little dangerous living in, this is in Worcester, which is an hour and a half from Cape Town. And most of our friends who live in Worcester, they either have triple locked fence going around their house, or they'll have 2 or 3 fierce guard dogs. And even if you have guard dogs, they're liable to get shot by people who either want to steal dogs or else just want to kill the dog so they can go in. We live in a gated community for old people. It's wonderful to be an old person sometimes. Yeah, and that's our house. Wukalekhan 48. And it took me 6 months to learn how to pronounce it. Up there is Pastor Pola. He's the one who starts with all these kids and says, "Do you love the Lord?" "We love the Lord." And he has about 60, 70 children in his hut, mission hut, in the middle of Avian Park Township. Very dangerous place. And here are some of the kids. And they are dancing to music from his boombox. That's how he starts off the sessions. 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. And after the dancing, he tells them a story. There he is, and he's lots of audience participation. He's teaching them, he's telling them Bible stories. Do you know how important it is to tell these stories to children at the age of 7, 8, 9? That's when they're the most receptive. And they get it into their minds. These children are being brought up as solid Christians in the middle of an area full of gangsters, drug addicts, and everything else. And these children are evangelizing their parents. Fola is an angel. This was a picture I took of a girl, her name is Sarita. Who actually cares? I was so struck by that t-shirt. I didn't know her at that time. I said, "Please, can I take a picture of your t-shirt?" Because really, there's no indication that anyone does actually care. When I was insuring our car, I went in to see the man who ran the insurance company. He said, "What are you actually here for? Why have you come here from South Africa? Why would anyone do that?" I said, "We're going to be working with people in your township." He says, "Really? Well, what would anyone want to work with them for? They are completely outside the aspect of living for the majority of the people who live in the town of Worcester. They are a necessary evil that they really don't want to have anything to do with." Hence her t-shirt. While we were there fairly early on, I used to go on this ministry once a week, and they asked me, Fola asked me if I would come to this lady's house, because she had just had a baby, and I held this baby. The reason she had had a baby was because she had been assaulted by a man in the family, no husband, one of the males who lives in that house. Unfortunately, the baby died 2 weeks later. This lady is not in the township. This lady is Loretta. She is a patient in a hospice. It's a small hospice, and there, the hospice is not limited just to people who are going to heaven. These people may actually recover. I'm not sure if Loretta is going to. I've been seeing her every week for about 6 months now. I've been going in there and praying with the patients. But she always has a smile for me, always very happy to see me. No one yet, when I've gone in there, has said, "No, they don't want prayer." This is Moses Hoyleman. Moses was there when I first started going into the hospice. He had been hit by a truck 2 years ago now. He'd been just minding his business on the side of a street, and this big truck had come along and mowed him down. And it broke his back. He was on his back for months before I even saw him. He had had, I think it was 12 operations by that time. Well, he's now up. He's sitting in a wheelchair there. Moses and I have developed a very strong friendship. He's intelligent, articulate, bright, and he has family, his children. One of his children is at university. And it's been a joy just getting to know Moses. At one point, they took him to, they said, you can go home, you can go out of here. They took him back to Torres Rivera, where he lives. And very soon he was back, and he came back to the hospital, and then he ended back in the hospice. And at one point he stayed with us for a night, and I drove him back home. More recently, when I interviewed him for our internet radio station, he said to me, I assume you get paid for doing this. And I said, no, we're missionaries. We don't get paid for doing it. He says, why would you come in here? It was beyond his ken that we would actually come in, that I would come in there because I, the joy of praying for him. And it's been a very strong bond that we've had. I can communicate with him anytime I like, my text. That is Rena Fantaventa, who founded an organization called the Kibbutz in about 1985. Irena is a remarkable woman. She single-handedly tamed a very dangerous township by, for example, arranging soccer matches between rival gangs and letting them use up their energy kicking a ball instead of shooting one another. There's a building in the kibbutz which went up at around that time, and the people who she had brought to Christ did that wall painting. It's still there. Wonderfully, people have not whitewashed it over or fired guns at it or whatever. And Irena has a book called From the Guttermost to the Uttermost, which I read. And there's a whole chapter in there about a man called David, who more recently we got to know. He came to our church. Somebody who had been a full-time gangster, probably killed a few people, certainly dealt drugs and tried to get as many people hooked on drugs as possible. And Irena had brought him to the Lord. She's probably brought thousands of people to the Lord. And now Lorianne's working very closely with her because she founded a second organization called Changemakers, which attempts to take ex-gangsters and bring them into useful, working, entrepreneurial lives. Lorianne does the books for that organization. And just in case you think that all missionary work is out in the field, probably kneeling down in a literal field, converting people, the people who do the financial books for the organization that's doing that have an even greater role, because you won't get resources, funding, without some professional work in that area. And Lorianne has been a godsend to that organization. Here is an ex-gangster called Marco Reuters. I was introduced to him, both of us were, fairly early on in our time there. Marco had been the kind of guy who was in, when he was in jail in Braunfly, which is a local large jail, which we now do prison ministry in, he would send messages to his henchmen on the outside and said, kill that person, if you like, a death warrant. And some other young gangster would have to go and kill that person. And if they didn't, they would be removed from the gang or probably shot themselves. It's tough, tough justice here. But Marco now is a powerful evangelist amongst these gangs and their leaders. They all know him, and he's still alive, which is a remarkable thing. He has a lovely wife called Renz who just had a baby, and we've got to know that family quite well. One of the children that we teach is Renz's sister. Here's another picture of Marco on the left, and he is at an event. This was a time when the church that we attend, Worcester Christian Church, decided that they would run a praise and prayer event right in the middle of Avian Park, this particular location where we spend so much of our time. And the lady in the middle, it says on her shirt there, My Father's House, Worcester. She founded a ministry which we have been able to have the privilege of working with. Her name is Jan Buchanan, and she is on the cusp of seeing her dream for the Lord come true. She bought land in Avian Park, and we are $23,000 short of putting up a building which can be a center of education for people who were in gangs and children and everything else. Her husband was killed in the Asian tsunami. Jan has had a remarkable life. The man on the left is Godfrey, and we've got to know him very well. I consider him to be a close friend. Next to him is his brother, Tendai. Godfrey is a Zimbabwean who wants to go back to Zimbabwe. He has skills in jewelry making, and the only thing stopping him going back to his family and the people who, and a good living there, because Zimbabwe, despite what you read in the papers, is a more well-organized country even than South Africa in many respects. No time to talk about that now. And I would love to see Godfrey get back to his family. And he's looking for about the equivalent of about $4,000 that would allow him. He has a truck already, but in order to transport his stuff legally into Zimbabwe, that's the sort of money he's looking for. I mentioned the change makers. Here is a banquet they hold once a year, and you see all the people wearing tuxes? They're all ex-gangsters. What a transformation in their lives. These are the people whose Lorianne is providing significant help in keeping their organization legal and afloat. All the work of Irana. Now we're going to switch to a time of Lorianne teaching children in our church about prophetic art. You can see there's a loudspeaker there. We've just been playing some nice soft music and bringing this lovely feeling of peace. And the children are now turning that into drawings, turning that into prophetic art, the kind of thing you see down here. Amazing to see 6, 7, 8-year-olds doing that work. She's a great teacher, bringing the Holy Spirit right there. These two have been some of our closest friends. He on the left, Andre, is both blind and deaf. She on the right is deaf, and yet we're able to communicate with them any time we want, just like normal, using wonderful technology. They've taught us an awful lot about what we know about life in South Africa. If you want to know more about them, check out our internet broadcasts. There are now 63 of them where I interview somebody every week and let them tell their story, get their name out there. They're all up there on podcast. Broken Wall, the night before, there'd been a gang attack and a man had driven his car right through there and somebody else had killed him. That's the library where we started early on, more than a year ago now, started teaching up to 70 children a week. It was so loud and so noisy, the library eventually kicked us out. And then we started doing some things in a slightly different way. He is Ibrahim Sambo, another ex-gangster, and now working for the Lord. Wonderful story, Ibrahim. He doesn't look fierce, does he? He's a killer. But not anymore. The Lord is great. Here's a lady trying to find something to eat, sticking her head in a dustbin in a regular street in Worcester. I just wanted to remind you that there is a combination of people who are reasonably well off and some very, very poor people. These are our leaders in our ministry, Iris Western Cape, Johan and Marie, the people who we would go to if we ever had any trouble. We haven't had any trouble so far, but we love spending time with them. Here's a gathering of the organization we're part of in Robertson, near Worcester. Okay, I'm going to draw this to a close by thanking you. In the past, you have been very generous to us, this church congregation, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I hope you'll therefore forgive me if I happen to mention the subject of support, financial support. We certainly would love to feel that we continue getting your prayers. I'm somebody who has a number of pensions. We wouldn't have been able to do this. I'm old enough to have lots of pensions. But one of them was from my company that I worked for 22 years, Investors Group, and that was a 5-year pension. That was about $3,000 a month, and that has allowed us to get this far. That pension finished a month and a half ago. So that gives you an idea of the kind of resources that we're trying to find. If we find them, then our financial situation will remain, it'll remain stable. If we don't, we'll be eating into our savings in order to get that money. I'm not expecting anybody here to take out their checkbook and write a check. I am asking you, however, to listen to the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit says, I'd like to help that couple, and it's only a couple of dollars, fine. Everything goes towards what we're trying to achieve here. Listen to the Holy Spirit on that. But we will actually give you value for money in some of these things. This is a little memory stick, and we have a couple of hundred of these. And on here, you will find Lorianne's uncolored prophetic art. These are line drawings that children love to color. If you know anyone who has a Sunday school or anything like that, here you'll find two books full of that. You'll also find 57 of her broadcasts in the series Ways to Grow in God. Every week on our program, that's the teaching that she does. 57 of those. We are offering these memory sticks for $25, and I think you'll find they could be very valuable. And there will be other things that you'll find after the service. Lorianne will tell you more about those. I just end up again with the fact that it has been a joyful time for both of us. I thank the Lord that he didn't do this until I retired, but after that he allowed me to have this new career as a missionary. It has been fantastic. I would love to do it for longer than the next 16 months, but we have other constraints on us. Also, here's a tip. If you're a man or a woman and you want to do missionary work, do it with your spouse. Such a joy to have your spouse with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this congregation. Thank you for the chance to speak with them. Thank you for their pastor, Dave. And may it continue long and be a joy to your heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.